What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Krista Solms, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
We're back. We're in a good mood. Good to be back.
Huge episode.
Huge episode. Who would have thought we would have been here? But how have you been?
I'm good, man. Good. Just getting over a little sinus infection, but pretty good nonetheless. Yeah. How about yourself?
Flu game for you, part two. I think you had one. Couple years ago.
I won't say this is a flu game. I think I had COVID one podcast. This was early on. This is, I think, like season one. I had COVID.
Go back to the archives.
Yeah, I didn't know I had it yet. They said it was a sinus infection then, but this was early on when it's like, you had to go and get tested at a facility because they didn't have like at home tests or anything. You couldn't even get the vaccine yet.
Oh my god, the Owls are in the bubble. Good times. But out in the desert, so hope you had a nice time.
Yeah, I went to Vegas almost two weekends ago. Had a good time there.
When was the last time we did record?
I think it was right before I left.
Let's see. We'll find out right now. It was January 9th, so been a bit of time.
Yeah, right before I left. Yeah, no, had a good time there. Good to be home, busy at work, and
oh, the joys.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about today, though. A lot of stuff. We could just jump right into it. Biggest news that came out of this week.
Everybody knows what we're gonna talk about.
Biggest news. I'll let you take it away. It's your news. You're free.
Finally, man, our chains are free. You heard me complain about him enough.
And right after MLK Day, too. It's quite apropos.
So, just as he dreamed, Lane Lambert is fired by the New York Islanders. And the bombshell, who did they hire? I mean, obviously everybody knows now. Is it Dean Evason? Was it Bruce Boudreaux? Patrick? Wow.
Ding, whoa, ding, ding.
Talk about left field, man. I mean, the day that happened was the Seton Hall Creighton game, which I took my parents to because I got them tickets for Christmas. And it went to triple overtime, of course. It's my dad's birthday today, so happy birthday to my dad. Big Islander fan, so gotta love
that. Shout out him.
But this was on Saturday, so we celebrated early because they came to Jersey for the game. And we sit down at dinner at like 4 o'clock because that's just the game. The game is at 12, so whatever. And like he looks at his
little
phone.
Early bird special.
Oh, like the total old person special because we had no other time to do it because we weren't going to wait 2 hours. But, he just looks at me and he goes, Patrick Waugh? And I'm thinking, I think Patty Waugh died. And then he's like, no, the Islanders hired Patrick Waugh. I mean, what a bombshell, man. I mean, before I get to my thoughts, what did you think when that first happened? Because I don't think I ever really got your thoughts because I was probably freaking out about it when the news – because I was at dinner and, my emotions were all over the place in 3-0 OT loss. So, what were your initial thoughts before I hop into, all that I think at this point?
So, I was taking a shower and I got out and usually when I take a shower,
Little 3 p.m. shower. Interesting.
Yeah.
You gotta respect it nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, you do some morning because I think it was a Saturday, so I was doing some errands in the morning around the house, and then I think I was going to see Steph that night, so I was like, you know what, I plug my phone into the charger, we leave it in my room, go take a shower, come back, and the first thing I usually do when I come back is I check my phone, see if anyone texted me, if I need to reach out to anyone. But I'm checking my phone. I have like 3 texts from you, a couple texts from Jake. I see a couple headlines, Twitter notifications. I'm like, what the fuck happened? And then I'm reading it, and I was like, oh my god, they fired Lane Lambert and they hired Patrick Waugh. I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. So no. I was shocked because I didn't think they would fire Lane. I was like,
I knew it was coming after the Chicago loss.
See, it's for me because I haven't been really paying attention to them. I just kind of figured it's a lost cause at this point. Mm-hmm. Might as well ride out the rest of the season with them and then fire them in the offseason because that's what I thought they were going to do. And then they didn't. They got rid of him now, which I'm like, you know what? It's probably a month.
It was time.
2 months too late. You probably should have fired him back in December when everyone was calling for him.
Interesting tidbit about that. I'm just looking back in the schedule now. So remember a couple podcast episodes ago, we talked about the loss to the Sharks. They blew that 4-1 lead in the third period to the Sharks. That was December 5th. In Patrick Waugh's interview, his first press conference, he says, yeah, you know, I've been watching the Isles this year, and he specifically cited two games he watched. The Los Angeles Kings win and the Maple Leafs win, which were 4 days and 7 days, respectively, after that Sharks loss. So I'm thinking this was in process for a little bit of time. I'm sure it took some time for him to sort out his business in Quebec and kind of watch some game and get the contract finalized, because this isn't an interim tag. Like, he's here to stay. So I don't think it's any coinkydink that he was watching Isles games immediately after that San Jose loss. So
that's interesting.
I think they pulled the trigger after that. I just don't think they got it done until now.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But the thing is, too, I knew he was because I was listening to Chicklets, because they were talking about it, and they had brought up a point, and I kind of forgot about it. Well, I think they interviewed him or were talking about him over the summer. He had apparently been interviewing for a couple.
That was
the big one. He was in like the final, and he was just kind of like doing everything behind the scenes because of how everything went down in Colorado with the Jack Adams season and two dud seasons, and then the resignation 2 weeks before the season started, or at least preseason started.
Which he admitted, he said basically like in his conference, he was like, you know, things went so badly in Colorado, like I shouldn't have left like that. So I guess he's learned from hopefully his mistakes. But yeah, I guess I'm grateful now they didn't get that Columbus job. That would have been a good hire by them. They're stuck with Pascal Vincent, the bum. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I was shocked that it happened. But I think it's a good hire. I think, you know, he's probably done his penance. He had his juniors team playing really well.
Memorial Cup champs, man.
This is a good landing spot for him because it's I think something the Islanders needed, because I feel like they've kind of, you know, they had that identity line for so long, and then and it's going to sound cheesy. I feel like the Islanders this season and a little bit last season, like, they kind of just lost their identity. They didn't really know who they were.
They had no identity under Lambert. You're 100% right. 100%.
And I think he's going to reel everyone back in and make this team a unit again, and I think steer the ship in the right direction. And I think the Islanders will probably make the playoffs, so that'll be great. But even if they don't, if by some chance they don't make the playoffs this year, I think he's going to take it as, like, you know, we weren't ready this year.
Yeah.
And next year we're going to hit the ground running, and we're going to be a different team moving forward, which is, I think, exactly what this team needs.
Yeah. I mean, nailed it. I mean, I'm going to go ahead.
No love lost between some of the stars on the team, some of the comments that they made after the firing.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, Barzal coming out and commenting and saying, like, laziness crept into our game, this, that. It sounded like Barzal wasn't a huge fan reading between the lines. But just to, like, you hit the nail on the head. I'm going to even one-up you with a statement. I think it's a perfect hire. I mean, I think he's exactly – and everybody around the league is kind of saying it. I think it's exactly what they need. I mean, everything that he has said up until this point and the way they played the last two games, which, again, small sample size, like you said, if they don't make the playoffs this year, honestly, I'm fine with it, because now the future is more bright with him at the helm, and it's going to take time for him to implement his systems. It's probably going to even take a whole training camp in September to do it. So it's not going to be built in a day. I mean, great. If it's a Craig Berube situation, great. But that's not the expectation, I don't think. But everything he has said in his press conference has reminded me of the way Barry Trotz entered, and that is exactly what you love to hear. I mean, structure, discipline. He's just – the way he's talking about puck possession and breakouts and the turnover ratio, everything that he has said, and he's been so real and honest. It's just been perfect from the get-go. I think Lamoureux hit it out of the park with the hire. I think he's also, I think the biggest part that I even forgot to mention is that and we can touch about it more later with some of the coaches in the division. He is the exact opposite personality-wise as Lambert. I think he's toned it down a little bit ever since, you know, he's not going to be pushing boards back and yelling at coaches like he did in his first game in Colorado, which was electric, and I wouldn't mind seeing it. But I think he has developed more into that more level-headed coach. And he said in his press conference, he's like, you know, sometimes I need to step back and just let the players play. But going from Lambert and his kind of nonchalant, I don't know, just his attitude towards the team didn't seem like, it seemed like it didn't have any passion. And I think that reflected in it because, like you said, they had no identity. And now under Wah, he's this fiery guy. He inspires. He kind of kicks him in the ass. And he's going to make you play a system, and he's going to be hard to play against. I mean, I've seen people talking about the Remparts, his team that he owns and is the GM and coach of. Oh, my God, what a dream, by the way. That's so sick. They were, like, the most structured CHL team. I mean, they won a Memorial Cup. They might have won two. I don't know. They definitely won one. And people were talking about, yeah, these guys play, like, above their weight. They're not playing, like, a Q team. They're playing, like, a AHL team. Like, that's how structured they are. So it's very Barry-esque. And I think the second time around, like, Wah is going to learn from a lot of his mistakes, which is tough saying because, you know, he was a Jack Adams winner. But, man, I am pumped. Also, really weird, though. I mean, I don't know if you're as weirded out by this as I am, but just seeing Patty Wah in, like, Islanders gear is so strange, dude.
It has been strange. But, yeah, that's, I think, a point I put on the sheet here. He's a competitor at the end of the day.
Oh, he's, you know, a gamer, man.
So he's... And as much as I think he probably has cooled it down a little bit since, you know, his Colorado days coaching them, I still think he has a little bit of a fiery side that we'll see in bits and pieces, I think, throughout his tenure with the Islanders. But the Metro has just it's a bed of hot-headed coaches. You have him.
Give me a...
You have Laviolette, Torts, Rod the Bod, Sullivan.
Series, Torts and Patty Wah. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
The motherfucking from the bench. I mean, it'll be insane. But
yeah, you're right, though. I mean, the division is just loaded with passionate coaches. And like I said, that's what the Islanders need, you know? Like I said at the start of this, the way Barzal said it, and like you said, like the quotes coming out of the room are like, you could even tell by the way they played. You saw some of the games. I mean, you saw the highlights. You heard me talking about it. This team had nothing. They lacked just a whole identity. They didn't seem to, like, play for each other or the coach. I mean, the last game Lambert coached, which, you know, I think we say that this Patty Wah thing's been in there for a while. I think the kiss of death was still definitely, you know, you lose in OT to Chicago, whose forward payroll was, I think, about $12 million for that game. And, like, for a team that... There's so much noise around the coach, you know. I don't think anybody really expected, obviously, Patty Wah or anything like that. But for that much noise around a coach, the team did not play inspired at all. It just didn't seem like they wanted to play for him at all. So
no, I think Lane coached kind of like how the Rangers are playing right now. He coached and the Rangers are playing like they don't hate losing, and that's a problem. Yeah.
The Islanders, it was like a country club kind of mentality. They were just fine being just lazy and average.
Yeah, and I think it shows, I think, in the record too. I mean, the most OT losses. It's like, you know, these are games that, you know, you let a lot of those games, and those are points you left on the table. And points left on the table are going to kill you down the stretch.
Yeah, that's all you need to know, man. It's just how many games did they blow that they should have won. Like, I just don't know. I think an interesting theory that – it honestly came up when I was thinking about it when I was driving home with my parents from dinner. And it's weird because – and I want to get your, obviously, thoughts on this after this. But it's weird, right, that Lambert was with Trotz for how long? I want to say it was 2006 or 2007 – somewhere around there. It was just completely different. The structure was different. The aura was different. The way he coached was different. I'm almost wondering, like, you see it a lot in basketball more, I think. Like, not college, but more so the NBA. It's like, when you have a head coach, he's kind of the X's and O's guy that Oh man, Nate Dogg's unbelievable. sorry. He's an X's and O's guy who's got to be kind of like the tough guy, that tough leader. You're, as a head coach, you're not supposed to be friends with the players. You can be like a leader for them and like a comrade, if you will, but you're not supposed to be friends with them. That's what the assistant coaches are for. So I'm almost wondering, you know, Lambert was here for 4 years as an assistant, one as a head. I'm just wondering if, like, and I obviously have no basis to this claim. I don't know the guy. I don't know what it's like in the locker room. I don't know the players. But I'm almost wondering, like, for those past 4 years, because it's the Islanders are known for being, like, the same team. I mean, there's always been some additions here and there. But, like, was he, you know, you're this liaison between the players and the head coach. And you're kind of buddy-buddy with them as a top associate or the assistant. Did the Islanders not respect Lambert? Because I think they certainly played like they did not respect Lambert as a head coach authority figure.
I agree. I think Lane Lambert reminds me of a guy on Tottenham's team. It's this French player. He's currently loaned out right now, and he's been loaned out by the team the last couple seasons. Tanguy Ndombele. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is the Spurs signed him for 60 million euros. He was one of the highest transfer signings Spurs had ever made. I think the highest at the time at 60 million euros. He got paid, and he's still getting paid, and quit pretty much immediately. As soon as he got transferred, he was making more money than he had ever seen before, and he just kind of quit. He's put on, in the last 4 years, I think 20 pounds. He's playing in Turkey right now. He's a fat fuck. Lane reminds me of him, where it's like he finally got the shot. He finally got the big call-up. And you just were like, oh, I got paid. Cool. I don't care. I'm getting paid. Who cares? You know, this is all I made a ton of money as an assistant. The guys, you know, they like me. So I think they're going to still like me. But to your point, they don't respect him as a coach. They like him as a guy, but they don't respect him as a coach. And he just kind of gave up and was like, I'm okay with the team playing the way they play. I still get paid at the end of the day.
Could be.
I wish him nothing but
the best. I mean, I think he's a good associate or great assistant, good associate. Like, I think he'll land somewhere in like a secondhand man kind of job, but he's just clearly not. He's just not a head coach, man. I think we've learned that very adamantly over this process.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's probably not built to be a head coach. He's shown it. I'd be shocked if he got another opportunity.
I can't imagine with how this one went. I mean, it was bad. But wish him the best. But I mean, I feel bad. I don't want to dance on the guy's grave. That's the thing. I do feel bad for the guy because, like, when he was an assistant with Trotz, people loved him. He's an emotional guy. Weirdly enough, he was more emotional as an assistant than as a head coach, which is weird. So maybe he adjusted his personality. I don't know. There's probably a lot of things Lambert would have done differently looking back on his time here, which is a shame. I think everybody was happy when they hired him. But that being said, not to dance on the guy's grave, like I said, man, I am so pumped for Patrick Waugh. It's so weird, and it's a name I never expected. I thought it'd be Dean Evason, the former Minnesota guy, but man, it's just everything Patty says, like you said, he's a gamer, he's a competitor, he's honest, and you could tell, like, the way he talks, and the way he, first of all, he's just so loud, and he screams on the bench the whole time, and there's videos of him screaming in practice. He's an intense guy. He's just got a great hockey mind, and I think he said in his press conference after the first game, which I haven't tuned into a post-game press conference in years. I was like, man, I can't miss this. He was like, I can't quote him verbatim, but like I can paraphrase, I guess, to the best of my ability. He said that, like, yeah, you know, he had a long career. He owns the Remparts. I believe he owns them, but he's definitely the GM and coach, or he was. And he said, you know, like, it would be easy for me to stay home and golf, but like hockey, like, the game has given so much to him, and it, like, I think he said exactly, it's what makes him feel alive. So, like, man, that's just, like, that's the guy you, like, want to run through a brick wall for. I mean, it's just, like, talk about having one of the greatest hockey minds behind your bench. And I obviously know, you know, we're not bringing in Scotty Bowman here. It's not Al Arbor. But, like, man, from what people are saying and what I've seen so far and maybe, like, you know, what we've seen in the past, you know, he was a Jack Adams Award winner. He got a lot out of those Colorado teams who, mind you, the year after he left, they put up about 46 points in a whole season. That was their garbage season after he left, which correlation, causation, whatever. I mean, he left 2 weeks before the season, so they obviously threw a wrench in things. But, man, he just – he seems like that exact dude you want to play for. I mean, I'm so pumped. I might be more pumped for the Patrick Watt error than I was for the Barry Trotz error, which is crazy to say. But man,
that's maybe, great. That's wild.
Maybe it's just because, and we've talked about it so much. Like, and if you are a consistent listener listening to this, you'll obviously probably your ears will be ringing. But I think this team is much better than what they played, which is crazy considering that, you know, they're still in the playoff hunt, you know, like maybe things will turn around this year per se, but this team is, I really do think Lou has built a good team and he's addressed every issue that they really need. You know, Lambert's not good. He got a coach, need a defenseman. They got Romanov. Obviously the Taves trade wasn't good. You know, you need a puck carrier. You go and get Engvall. So I think Lou's done everything he can. I think the roster's good. This roster, like, what Trotz had to work with, he's working with Komarov and Bailey and Filppula. And now all of a sudden you got Horvat, you got Engvall, you got Pageau. Dobson's having a renaissance year. Romanov looks awesome, especially in the two games under Wah. I don't know if it's that Montreal connection, but he looks great. I mean, the core is there. I think they have a really damn good team, and I think they were obviously playing below expectations. So I'm so pumped. I mean, I'm not expecting immediate results, but I think next year, I think they come out of training camp, and man, I think they are a well-oiled machine. I think we're going back to, like, OG, like, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but I feel like we're entering Conference Territory Islander era again. I'm getting my hopes too high. I get my hopes way too high. But I'm pumped, man. I'm so freaking pumped for Patrick Watt.
Yeah, I mean this was the right move for the Islanders, and I think
who would have thought?
Yeah, I think next season we're gonna see, I think, to the full extent what a Patrick Watt coached Islanders team looks like. And also, I just went on his Wikipedia page. After retiring in the NHL, Watt joined the Quebec Ramparts of the QMJHL as vice president of hockey ops. He also became owner, GM, and in 2005 was named head coach. So he coached them for a fucking long time.
Yeah,
up until
till Colorado.
Yeah, no, he coached them from 05 to 2012-13, took a 3-year hiatus, came right back.
Yep, that was the Colorado years. There you go. I mean, yeah, what a wild, wild concept. I mean, out of left field. I think if you gave you and me 10 names to give it for the Islanders head coaching job before January, I don't think we would have said Patrick Waugh, which is crazy. But I mean, perfect, man. Way to go, Lou. Nail on the head,
Nailed that one.
But the only other thing I want to mention with Waugh was that there are rumors going around that he was going to bring his top boy over from Quebec, the Remparts. Brush up on your French, everybody. They had French TV channels carrying the last two games. So crazy. Regardless. And they play Montreal tomorrow. Gonna be so sick. By the time you're watching this, they probably already have played in Montreal. But there are rumors going around from a French television that Benoit de Rocher, might have mispronounced that, but I'm assuming that's how you say it, was hired by the Islanders. And then the Islanders tweeted out, which is crazy, or posted on X, excuse me, Elon, don't come for us. Isle's statement. Benoit de Rocher has not been hired by the New York Islanders. There are plans for President and General Manager Lou Lamoriello to meet with de Rocher in the future. AKA, we're mad that got leaked, but he's probably going to get hired. You know, like, I think they're obviously going to let Wild bring his right-hand man in. And what I noticed of the first two games, Wild loves to give John McLean a lot of run and loves to talk to John McLean. I don't think I've seen this guy talk once to Doug Huda, who was Lane's boy, and they played together in Detroit. So I think they're a little mad that it puts him in a bad position that they're basically going to have to, like, keep Huda around until DeRoche is ready to come over, because DeRoche is a young guy. I think he's like 34, but I think they're kind of like mad that it leaked, because that's not Lou's MO. I mean, God bless whoever leaked that. I mean, count your days, buddy. But
yeah, get ready to learn Chinese.
This DeRozan seems pretty good, though. So I hope they hire him, and hope they get rid of Huda. Like I said, best of luck to him. But it seems like McLean is the guy they're going to keep. So I think DeRozan would be a sick addition. I mean, he's got nothing but high reviews. So yeah, man, that's the Isles coaching staff. Pretty nuts. And just one more thing, Isles, before we go into the Rangers. If you don't mind, I think Ilya Sorokin is extremely worn out. He's given up a lot of garbage goals this year, man. I mean, he's not Sorokin. I think he's played in 13 straight and started 12 out of 13. He's faced 200 more shots than the next highest goalie in the NHL, which is Georgiev in Colorado, who I think Georgiev has faced 2,100 and Sorokin's up to like 2,350. So I think it's just a workload to get into Sorokin at this point. But for all of us back off the IR, playing tomorrow or tonight if you listen to this, in Montreal. So just questionable. I mean, it's weird. There's also like Vasilevsky, Sorokin, Shesterkin, and Saros are all hovering around like 901 save percentage this year.
Something's off. I have stats for Sorokin.
You're a dog.
So Sorokin's played 35 games. He started 34 of them. He is boasting 14 wins, 12 losses, 9 overtime losses. He has a 3.17 goals allowed average and a 909 save percentage, and his time on ice is 2,064 minutes. I agree. I think there's something up with Sorokin and Shesterkin, because Shesterkin has played in 31 games, is boasting a 19-11-1 record, a 2.82 goals allowed average for a 901 save percentage. But I think the thing that shocks me to what you said about Sorokin being worn out, Shesterkin's only played 1,831 minutes. Oh. So he's playing about over 200 less minutes than Sorokin's played.
That's just too much. I mean, I think you also saw it, like Lambert's last game in Chicago. He started Sorokin. It's like, I know Ken Appleby was your backup, but that's probably a game you start Ken Appleby. And I think it was Lambert waving the white flag saying, I need to start Sorokin to save my job. And like, he gave up stinkers, man. It's just, yeah, I mean, those numbers are crazy. Thanks for pulling those up. I mean, he's definitely worn out.
And I think the thing is, too, like, yes, Sorokin's played 4 more games, so, like, the numbers check out. But I do definitely think, yeah, I agree with you, because I've seen that online, that, you know, what's going on with Sorokin. It's the same, you know, conversations as everyone's having with Shesterkin, where it's like, mm-hmm. what's going on with these guys? These guys had been lights out for the last couple of years, and now all of a sudden it's like, you know, this is a career low save percentage for Sorokin right now. It's a career low save percentage for Shesterkin right now. So it's kind of, you know, you're questioning what's going on, and hoping that they can both figure it out soon.
Well, the good news is, if it's mental, I think I know a guy in New York now that can help out Sorokin.
Yeah, really.
So, I mean, can't get much better of a mentor than that, right? I mean, Pick your poison, Brodeur, Wah. So, I mean, crazy. Also, wild that Fleury broke Patrick Wah's record against the Islanders for second place a couple days before Wah was hired. Conspiracy, but
conspiracy.
But that's all I have about the Isles. I'm very pumped to see what happens. I mean, they play 2 games under Wah, much more energy, but I also think that that's probably just people fighting for their lives, you know? People are fighting for their jobs now. It's a new coach. You got to impress. Only make a first impression once. So they won a game against Dallas that they probably shouldn't have won, and they lost a game against Vegas that they probably should have won. So, you know, like Wah said, these things even out in the eyes of the hockey gods. So, but the systems look much better, defending the blue line better, forechecking better, the penalty kill changed from a diamond to a box. So, you know, improvements. So I don't want to assess over 2 games, which is why I didn't really talk about it, but definite improvement for the Isles. So I don't know how much of that is adrenaline versus like system. Probably more adrenaline than anything, but you can tell there are some noticeable differences that Wah has implemented. So I'm pumped. Let's go Isles, baby. We want the cup.
Love to see it.
I wish.
Moving over to Rangers. Big news.
Side of town.
Heedle's coming back to the U.S. His little stint over in Czechia is has come to an end. From rumblings are that once he gets back to the U.S., he's gonna pretty much skate on his own. But you know, he'll probably end up getting to practice soon in a non-contact for a little bit just to be back with the guys again. So I think that's huge news and a great step forward for him. The Rangers definitely miss him too, and I think they're going to probably shelter minutes if he does eventually get to play again.
I would like sit him out the year, to be honest with you. I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but I don't know what your take on that is. Like, but
I want to, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? If they're going to sit him out, then you need to. There needs to be a backup plan. There needs to be another center that's traded for at some point. Because the Rangers right now it's Zibanejad, Trocheck. I don't want to say Goodrow is maybe playing 3C right now, so not what you want. Yeah, they have Goodrow at 3C, I believe, and then Bonino at 4C. So definitely want to bump Goodrow back down to the fourth line because, leading into Bonino and Goodrow. I want both those guys off the team immediately. I know Bonino signed a one-year deal. So he'll be off the team.
That much? He was good last year.
No, he sucks. He's got no legs. Really? He has no legs. And I was really pumped to have him. And I think in small doses, he can probably provide you what you're looking for. He has no legs anymore. He can't skate. He's slow. I'll let you guess. When do you think his last point was?
Oh gosh. How many points does he have this year?
He has 5.
Jeez Louise.
In 45 games played, he has one goal.
November 30th.
A little sooner than that. December 23rd against Buffalo, he had an assist.
It's not great.
But was still a dash one on the night. Since January 6th, dash one, dash one, dash one. Hold on. Dash one, dash one, dash one, dash one, dash one, zero, dash one, zero, dash two. So for anyone keeping score at home, that's like minus fucking 10.
Yeah, and in his last stake into plus minus, but still, I think it does tell somewhat of a story. And when you're a fourth liner, you cannot afford to be caved in like that.
No, he's getting crushed right now. And Goodrow, he's in the same boat again, boasting a similar stat line: 45 games played, one goal, 4 assists, 5 points, dash 7. Bonino is a dash 12 right now. Goodrow got a point January 11th, but before that, his last point was December 15th. And again, since let's just do it, January 6th, dash 1, plus 1, dash 1, 0, 0, 0, dash 1, dash 1, dash 1. He's minus 3 his last 3 games, and he's doing nothing.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere, you could probably confirm that, on non-ELC contracts, he is he's making the most per point.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's like 900,000 or something like that.
I mean, man, that contract has aged so much worse than I thought. You called it. You called it, but it's aged so much worse than I thought. I thought he was a better player than that.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I knew as soon as that contract was signed, I was like, this is a horrible contract.
He has three.
He has 3 more years.
That's not good.
So you really, in theory, between this year and next year, if you're the Rangers, need to win a cup. Because at that point, it's easier to trade a 3-time cup winner with 2 years left on his deal, and you're paying the most amount of money. Because I don't know why Drury didn't front load the contract to make it easier to trade on the back end. He backloaded the contract. So now, hold on, I'll pull up what his contract is.
You guys need to go this offseason and call up Chicago and say, hey, we will give you a second round pick and whatever the hell else you want. That's reasonable to retain 50% and send Goodrow back to Tampa Bay, because that's the only way he's going to waive his no trade clause. If he gets that third party flip, I think, because there's no way he's going to waste out the end of his career. He obviously got that clause for a reason. Like, he's not going to go to a garbage team. So like, I think if they say, hey man, Chicago, retain half for a couple of years, we'll send you on your way back to Tampa Bay, be a fourth liner for 1.6 mil. Have fun, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I lied. So his cap hit for all 6 years, or his AAV for all 6 years, is $3,641,667. His total salary the first 2 years was $2.5 million and $3 million. The Rangers are taking a brunt of the salary now. He's making $5.1 million this year after signing bonuses and base salary and everything, and then $5 million next year. Total salary the last 2 years is $3.7 million, $5 and $2.5 million, and he has a modified no-trade clause.
That
for all 6 years.
In that $5 million in the fifth year is going to screw you guys over. That's a lot of
money. It's the fourth year. The fifth year is 3.75. That's what.
And then what's the wait? So say
the final year is 2.5. So he's making his total salary this year is 5.1. His total salary next year will be $5 million.
Okay,
and
so
then
it's these next 2 years.
These so next 2 years are the ones. He'll probably be on this team next year.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. You need to win a cup so he could be a three-time cup winner, because then at that point, fifth and sixth year, it's easier to trade that contract away.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you're with him the next 2 years, damn. That's a crazy contract in hindsight, man.
Yeah, it was tough. I knew it was gonna be tough when they signed it, and it's aged like a bag of milk in the sun. Other news out of Rangers, Trocheck, all-star, due to injury.
Crazy.
Yeah. wasn't expecting it.
Where's Horvat, man?
Vincent Trocheck has been playing his balls off this year, so I'm happy for him.
Just a crazy choice with some of the other options out there, but I think Trocheck's a great player, actually. I know he's having a great year, but definitely a little bit of a wild choice with some other names out there, but I don't know. Good for him, though.
Yeah. He's got 45 points in 47 games. His face-off percentage is pretty good. So I've been happy with the way he's looked.
45 and 47?
Yeah, he's playing. I told you, he's playing his back off right now.
Damn.
he's looked good.
I wasn't familiar with your game.
And I know, I assume you put this down here, Zibanejad slander.
Not as like me slandering him. Like, he's being... Yeah, ripped apart on online. I saw.
Oh yeah, you know what? He is, and I think it's just because his play hasn't been up to what it needs to be, especially as a guy who's an alternate captain. He's been with the team forever. He signed a pretty long term deal with the Rangers, but I think to the people that like are talking poorly about him, I mean, it's not like he isn't performing. He had. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's like not a ton of points. He's got 6 points in January, so it's definitely a little slower. He doesn't look great on the power play, but again, the power play doesn't look great. The power play that's been lights out for the Rangers has been dull. It's been boring.
Yeah, I saw that.
Not looked great.
I saw people calling for him to be off the first power play too. Like they were saying, put Laff on the first power play.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the Rangers fan base, especially on Twitter, it's a very funny one because they want to retire numbers, build statues, put people in the Hall of Fame when things are going great, and then as soon as things start going poorly, it's fire everyone, blow the team up, and
love if, that
little PSA. For anyone who listens to the show and follows us on Twitter, if I tweet something hyperbolic and you can't tell that it is, unfollow the account, block it, block me, see a therapist, get some fresh air. You know who you are. You've made the list. I'm not going to say anything more than that. I'll leave it for post-pod. But yeah, no, I mean, the team doesn't look great right now. Rangers are 4-6-2 in January. Definitely think something needs to happen ASAP, whether it's a players only meeting, Trouba needs to throw a helmet at someone, or they need to make a trade. I think he did it a season too early. I would have rather a players only meeting behind the scenes and a helmet toss this year, because I think that's what this team needs right now. They need a helmet toss, and you can't do it again. You know, it's a one time thing. You can't it doesn't hit the same if you throw a helmet again.
Like, okay, like we know what he's trying to do here.
Oh, here's Trouba throwing helmets again. Grow up, buddy. the Rangers need to do something right now. They don't look great, but again, like I said on many podcasts, they were due to hit a slump. This is their slump, but
they're still well on over the 500.
Yes, they're still, I think, 9 points ahead of Philly in the standings.
I'll pull it up right now.
I'm pretty positive they're 9 points ahead.
Just the Metro.
Yeah,
Metro is the Rangers are at 61. Philly is at 56, so but the Rangers have a game in hand. So say that's 7. The order didn't update, but they are 4 points ahead of Carolina now. And then the Devils are at 51, Isles are at 51, both 10 points behind.
Okay, so it's they have a decent lead right now. Need to start winning games again. Oh man, I had something and I just lost it. Oh my god. All the teams that were really good and everyone was saying were the darlings of the NHL, the Kings, the Knights, the Rangers, have all kind of taken a step back, and teams that were off to a rockier start but got hot and are staying a little hotter, like Tampa, Colorado, Winnipeg. Tampa, Winnipeg. Winnipeg and Vancouver are, I think, the only teams I would say have looked good all year and have been playing good hockey the entire year. Off.
Yeah, but it's Vancouver.
So I think, the Rangers are pretty much in line with all the other teams that are going to make deep playoff runs. So I'm not worried. I wouldn't worry about it. They just need something to change. So it is what it is. The one thing I will complain about was last night's game. In a game that the Rangers probably should have won, they ended up blowing a lead and losing in overtime to the Sharks.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm shout out Steve Valiquette and his analytics team. The Rangers had 28 chances last night, scored 2 goals, had an expected goals of 3.61. 9 high danger chances, 4 mid danger chances, and 15 low danger chances. The Sharks only had 20 chances, scored 3 goals with an expected goals. And this is I don't know how he calculates this, but I think it's chances to score. They had 20 chances to score. They scored 3 goals. What do you think their expected goals was?
20 chances, 1.56.
1.82. So pretty close. Ooh,
close. That's still terrible though.
They had 4 high danger chances, 3 mid danger chances, and 13 low danger chances. So. It's a game. It was an absolute bottle job by the Rangers. Yeah. It was an unforgivable win. It's a win that you're gonna be kicking yourself in the ass about, because it was a game that you went 0-3 on the power play. You led for most of the game. You did what you always do, and you gave up 2 goals in quick succession. I think they gave up 2 goals in 2 minutes. Ryan Carpenter, former Ranger, scores on the Rangers again. Yeah, scores on the Rangers again. He scored on them twice. Both times we played the Sharks, he scored on the Rangers.
I love that.
Do you want to know how many times a former Ranger has scored on the Rangers after leaving the team? Since, I think, 2017-18 is when this person went back to.
Hit me with it.
79.
That's so many.
The next closest is, I believe, Anaheim at 68.
So that's 7 years? My God, that's 10 a year. That's 1 every 8 games. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, a former Ranger is scoring on the Rangers about every 10 games or 8 games, whatever you just said, the last 7 years.
Yeah, that's nuts. Also, last night, tough way to lose. And I just want to say, and I'm sure you have stronger feelings about it based on how last night went, because it was a little egregious, I thought. I think... And I've tweeted this out before on my main account. The way we look at the clutch and grab era back in the day, a couple decades ago, where all these superstars, you could literally just lay on top of a superstar in the offensive zone and grab him and just you wouldn't get a penalty. Or the dead puck era. I think in 15 years, we're going to look back on this era and be like, why are we allowing these players to just set picks whether it be on the forecheck, in the offensive zone. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's interference every time. Last night with Jan Rutta was a perfect example. And even as an Islander fan, it was so obvious. I cannot stand when a player is chipping the puck in and going in on a forecheck, which is a key part of hockey, and a player skates in front of him and ties up his stick. I think in 20 years they're gonna look back and be like, "Why did we allow this?" I think
it's ridiculous. Yeah, you're taking away, like you're not playing the puck if you're doing that. You're playing a guy, which is interference, because no one's playing the puck at that point.
It's blatant. It's like it's not like you're just like okay. Sometimes players like skate in front of each other. Like I get it. It happens. There's only so much room in the ice. But if you're actively going out of your way to skate into somebody, that's interference. Like it's interference.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is. I the way the Rangers lost that game, they deserved to lose that game because they blew that lead. But yeah, I mean that interference on Zibanejad, you gotta call that. I mean that's just something where you're like, and I think the refs knew they fucked that one up because they were the first ones off the ice as soon as that goal went in. Laviolette was screaming on the bench trying to get on the ice to get to a ref, and they and Sam and Joe were like, the refs are already off the ice. They were gone as soon as the game ended. They were going to the Zamboni and they were like, open it up, get us out of here.
Yeah, that was bad. I mean, he even lost his stick. I mean,
and that's what people are pissed about. They're like,
he should have played harder after he lost his stick, but he still lost his stick.
Like, lost his stick, and people were like, well, he's out of the play. Da-da-da. I'm like, okay. It was a tic tac goal by the Sharks. Even if I think he was in play without a stick, I don't think he's going to stop that goal. No. And let's say the Rangers make a save and he's playing without a stick. Now you're trying to get out of your defensive zone with three Sharks players and Zibanejad without a stick. So you only have the puck carrier at that point and one other guy. So unless you're icing the puck so Zibanejad can just get a stick, you don't have many options here. So I didn't get why there were fans like up in arms about that. I get that you're like, he should have probably jumped into the play without a stick. But I'm like, again, let's say that goal didn't go in by some miracle. What the fuck was he going to do without a stick? Because his stick was on the because if you wanted him to play the guy who I think was on Shesterkin's right side, who passed it across the crease to Hurdle, who was wide open. It's like,
Ruda passed it.
If he's playing him, what is he going to do? Like, is he just going to push him? He's going to get called for interference because he doesn't have a stick. So it was kind of like a lose-lose situation. It just left a really sour taste in my mouth. It was a bad loss. And you know what? I think the Rangers were probably due for one of those. I can't remember in recent games that I've watched where I'm like, that was a loss that was deserved. But that was definitely a loss that was deserved. And overall, yeah, I think the Rangers need to change something. I'm not freaking out about the state of them right now. I'm not panicking. They're still, a top 10 team in the league. If you're like, it's – again, I think – what this team is looking forward to, and I don't blame them, is the All-Star break. I think these guys need a mental reset, and I think, you know, you got two games left. Try to win these two games. Go into the All-Star break. Enjoy some time off with your family. Come back ready to roll in February and start winning games again. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. That's pretty much it for the Rangers. I'm hoping they can make a trade soon. When is the deadline? Is it in March?
I think it's sometime early March. And there's a name floating around that it would just break my little heart.
Everly?
If that happens, if I have to see Jordan Everly in a Rangers uniform, I might actually throw up. I would actually be disgusted. Oh, side note, never going to happen, but maybe he's a free agent when he's free agent in 2 years. Talk about 30 for 30. Were we talking about this before the pod or on the pod? I don't remember if we talked about this before the pod or on the pod. If it was on the pod, I don't think it was. I apologize. But we were talking about, oh my God, like, if in 2 years, what if John Tavares comes back to the Islanders as 2C and they win the cup? 30 for 30, amazing. Heel turn. What if he signs with the Rangers in 2 years?
Yeah, I mean,
imagine the scenes.
I think Islanders fans might actually try killing someone.
Probably him. I talk about like a villain era, man. That would be nuts. bring JT back to New York one way or the other and sign us up for 30 for 30 when one of the team wins the cup, because it's going to be insane.
I don't like this guy, and he plays left wing, I think, so it doesn't even really matter. It's not a position the Rangers really need, but I wish he played center. I would love if he played center, because I think the Rangers could probably make it work. I would love a Jake Guentzel on this team. That would get him off the hate list.
Hey, he's a guy that you hate to play against and you love to play for, or like have him play for your team. I mean,
yeah,
he's a good player. I don't know. I'd be curious to see if he could handle his own. Big Guentzel to Vancouver rumors I saw. That'd be an interesting fit. Guentzel, I mean, that's a damn good top six. Guentzel, Pettersson, Besser, Miller. I'm missing somebody, but they got a damn good team over there. So I don't know. But yeah,
yeah,
interesting. I don't know. I'm not buying that they're going to trade Guentzel, though. I don't think you can tear it down. Until 87's in the Raptors, I don't know, man. I don't know if you can tear it down. It's a tough call, though. Unless Sig goes to Colorado.
Guentzel's in a weird spot because the Penguins probably are going to miss the playoffs this year. It's contract year for him. Does he want to sign another team-friendly deal and just kind of ride it out and maybe with the hopes that they can win another cup, which I don't think they're going to do. Or do you say, yeah, I appreciated my time here, love the city, love the team, but I gotta chase a bag while I can, because it's not gonna come if I don't.
Or does he pull a wild move? I mean, there's players who've done it. I can't remember the last time it happened. Does he chase cup and then come back and sign?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I wanted. Hurdle, like, I would have been fine if Hurdle did that 2 seasons ago, because it was 2 seasons ago when the Rangers made that deep run where I was like, this is the perfect time for Thomas Hurdle to come in, you know, or Tomas Hurdle to come in, fucking win a cup with the Rangers, and then go ahead, sign with San Jose again. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, like, I don't know why more players don't do that. I'm sure it's like an ethical thing where, like, A, they feel bad, or B, like, teams don't want to do
fuck
it.
That.
They know. But yeah, I mean, dude, I think it makes so much sense. Your team, you say, hey, just trade me. I'll go try to win a cup. I'll be gone from my family for 3 months. It's fine. I'll win a cup. And then I'll come back. Like, you guys get assets for me just to come back.
Exactly, yeah. Like, oh, you guys are going to benefit. All. But, like, that's – and I think it's a thing where I don't remember.
Halfway through the game. Oh, my God. Sorry to interrupt.
I don't know, or I can't remember it happening since I've been watching. But it's one of those things where I think it would happen like maybe once or twice, and then the league's like, you cannot do this anymore. This is insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. Do you have a bum of the week? Because I have both a bum and legend of the week.
Oh, man. Who would my bum of the week? I don't make it a Lambert, man. But damn, who's my bum of the week? Who have I not liked this week? Legend of the week is obviously Patty Waugh. I love that guy. Bum of the week. Who have the Islanders played recently that I've been upset with? I haven't had any bums of the week, man. It's just I'm just gonna go legend of the week, Patty Waugh. You know, he's just a goat. Bum of the week, I'll just give it to Lane. Sorry, man. Terrible coach. Good luck in your next adventure, buddy. But I'm sure you got good ones here, so hit it.
My legend of the week, London Police. Not gonna touch on it more than that. Bum of the week. Good job there, boys. Bum of the week, and I know you probably saw this. It's I think it was PP1 for the Penguins. They played Coyotes the other day.
That was hilarious.
What a shit show. I mean, Letang's pass back. Malkin lackadaisically, not even really paying attention. He's looking up at the rafters. Puck touches his stick, goes in.
The fact that it was those two, I love that. Letang skating around. Oh, let me cut across the ice and give a backhand saucer. Like, I am. I love it. And it's Malkin.
And then what's great about that clip is Sid is also on the ice. He's starting to go back in the zone. As soon as it goes in, he just looks up, stick on the helmet, like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. This is the state of this team right now. He's like, I fought for this guy, Malkin, and this is what he does to me. I totally.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, poor. I don't want to say poor Sid because he's won so much, but like, it's all TikTok. I can't be. He's 36. He's graying. I'm like, man, time flies.
it's we only have a few more years of him. I want to say, I don't know how much time he's got left on his contract, but I think it's safe to say within probably the next 4 years, Sid's going to be out of the league.
That's crazy to see. And also, side note, just to talk about real quick, how about our boy down in your former home? 8 goals in 42 games. He's got a bit of a hike to go before he hits.
Oh yeah, dude. Wayno, Ovi, the lights got a little bright for him. Yeah, he needed to like be on pace for I think like 25 the next couple seasons to hit it.
He needs 62 more, and he's currently. Oh my god, he's gonna be 39 at the start of next year, dude. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's gonna be close.
It's looking scary for him. I think though, with the All-Star break coming up, because we know he's not going. I don't know where he's gonna be, but he's gonna be getting, you know, HGH, Tren, Russian gas. I mean, he is going to be injecting himself with so much with so many PEDs. I wouldn't be surprised if he's at 40 at the end of the season.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's going to – even if he does grind this out and gets it. I mean, so say he grinds this out. He needs 60 goals. Let's say about 60 at this point. That's 3 20-goal years. Say he can get up to 25. That's still 2.5 years. Let me look at how many Matthews has right now.
Yeah, he would probably realistically need to be at like 25, 30 for him to like be able to score a little bit less those next couple seasons.
So by that time, Matthews has 338 right now. You give Matthews 2.5 years, that's another probably 150 maybe. Maybe that's generous, but all of a sudden, Austin's already at 500 goals. Give him a couple more years. I mean, he's gonna pass him like it's nothing.
Yeah, I don't think – you know, I at this point, if Ovi doesn't hit it, I would say next best is probably Matthews. He's probably going to be like – if Ovi can't do it, Matthews will probably be the guy who does it, I think.
I mean, geez, man, give Matthews a few hat-tricks here, and he's pushing 50 for 50. He did it at the end of two years ago. He scored 50 and 50. It just didn't count as 50 and 50 because it wasn't the start of the year. So, I mean, man, he needs 11 goals in 5 games. I don't want to put it past him.
And I mean, and he doesn't turn 27 until September, so he's going to be entering what his
fun fact 8th? same birthday, September 17th, both of them.
Nice.
What are the odds?
Hey man, you know, I'm starting to connect everything
let's see,
now.
What's when Mike Bossy was born? Then we'll really get the connections here. Oh, January 22nd. All right, well, there goes that conspiracy.
Yeah, right now he's sitting at 39 goals. He has 338. He'll probably be at – I mean, he's going to hit 50 easy. He's probably going to – he's going to get 60 again this year. Definitely. So he's going to be probably at 400. I think at the end of yeah, you know what? He could probably be close to 400, if not 400, by the end of the season.
He'll be at 5 by the end of Obi's career for sure, over 5.
Oh, 100%.
That's nuts.
No, it's like, and I know we've talked about that. I know we've talked about it, but what's really nuts is McDavid being so close to 1,000.
Bro, like almost hit it before Tavares, which is nuts.
That's the funny thing. I was telling people like a while ago, because I don't know why we're talking about John Tavares, but I was like, yeah. I'm like, McDavid started, I think, 7 years. McDavid joined the league 7 years after him and is going to hit 1,000 like a year later than him.
Unreal. Unreal. This is even off year for Connor. Yeah. Connor had 64 goals last year. That's so ridiculous.
He's filthy. I think we only have like a minute left before we're going to get kicked.
Yeah.
So That's it for this week episode.
I'm thinking back. Start of the week, this was a great podcast by us. If anybody's here listening at this point, gotta clap it up for us. I mean, I think we really killed it there.
A couple clicks. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, all that good stuff. Follow the podcast at From Broad to Bell. Unless you're that one guy, fuck you. Give us a 5-star rating, write us a nice review, and we will see you guys soon. Kevin, you got anything else?
Patrick Wye era, we're here.
Here we go.
That's all.
We'll see you guys later. Peace. Thank you.